This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, I'm Craig Norris, and I want to invite you to check out the R330. It's kind of like Quirks and Quarks, except I don't talk about space or science or anything like that. Instead, I play the week's best Canadian indie music. Head over to cbcradio3.com for all of the info.
It's Friday, November 21st. The U.S. Senate is seeking the president's approval for a bill that would extend benefits to Americans who find themselves unemployed for a prolonged period of time. Currently, and on his accountant's advice, President Bush plans to sign it. This is The Current Podcast.
Hello, I'm Indira Naidoo-Harris, and you're listening to The Current. Earlier this week, a giant Saudi oil tanker called the Sirius Star dropped anchor in the Indian Ocean, a little more than 800 kilometers off the coast of Somalia. Those are dangerous waters, rife with piracy. But the crew figured they were safe, since no one had ever struck that far out at sea. They were wrong. And now the Sirius Star, along with its 25 crew members and the 2 million barrels of crude oil it was carrying, are being held off the coast of a small Somali fishing village and well-defended pirate-based called Eel. There have been three more hijackings since then, and more than a third of all the pirate attacks in the world now take place off the coast of Somalia. Muzay, as he calls himself, is a Somali fisherman who says he hijacks ships traveling off the coast of Somalia. He says he's not a pirate. He's defending his country. We contacted him with the help of freelance journalist Abdul Rahman Warsme in Mogadishu. And because of the quality of the phone line, The Current's Kennedy Jawoko is helping out with a voiceover.
First, we are not pirates,
as the people in the world are saying. We are some Somali pastoralists who are going to defend the waters of Somalia. And I would like not to be called a bad guy. I am a coast guard of Somalia, and I do not want to be called a pirate.
So you call yourself a coastal guard of Somalia. Tell me then, what exactly do you do? Do you hijack ships?
Yes, we hijack ships
because they are using our waters as a no man's land. In Somalia, there has been no government for the last 20 years. Your ships, like the Western ships, are using Somali waters the way they like. And they are dumping waste materials of nuclear. And they are also taking Somali fish. And that's why we are going to hijack the ships.
Tell me about this hijacking then. How do you go about hijacking these ships? And do you ask for ransom?
Yes, we use our weapons
like machine guns. And we use our fast boats, speed boats. And that we have already prepared. At first, we were not engaged in the work of hijacking ships. We were only Somali fishermen, and those ships from Western nations used to come and destroy our boats. And then we got angry, and we have decided to defend the waters of Somalia and also the fishermen of Somalia to make them escape from the difficulty caused by Western ships. We heard that NATO has sent more ships, and now we are going to destroy ships from India because they have destroyed our colleagues, and we will try our best to fight against them, especially the Indians, the French, and the Americans.
But are you just fighting these ships, or are you also taking them into custody and holding the people who are on board of these ships and holding these ships for ransom? Are you asking for ransom?
Yes, the people on the ships we are holding
are still on the ships. We have not taken them to any custody. They are on the ship with our colleagues and their life is good and they don't have any problem. We are keeping them on the ships we are holding now, but we are telling the Western ships who are now going to come that whenever more NATO troops are sent to Somalia water that will put the lives of those we are holding in danger.
So how many ships are you holding at the moment and what are your demands? What do you want for these people?
Like the ship
belonging to Saudi Arabia. That's a very great ship. And also the other one carrying the weapons. And we are not afraid of anyone. We are going to defend. We are the defenders of Somali waters and land.
So you're defending the Somali waters and the land. When you do capture these ships, you do ask for money. What do you do with that money once you get it?
The money we are taking from the owners of the ship may be used to develop our capacity, like using the boats and getting machine guns, and also using the money to develop the land and to develop our weapons so that in the future we can be more stronger than we are now, and we will continue this.
Tell me about the money and so on that you are gathering. What are you doing with this money and supplies? And there are some who suggest that, in fact, you're not helping the people of Somalia. You're actually disrupting the situation there and making things more unstable.
No. We are not disturbing the situation. We are the coast guards. We are protecting the coast of Somalia because Western nations dump nuclear material in our Somali waters, and that will be a danger. And now we are defending the Somali people. I'm not going to tell you everything else. Everything is not to be told to you because something may be a secret for us, and that's why I'm telling you.
Musay, though, some people would say if you are Coast Guard, and just basically protecting the people of Somalia, why do you have to take these people hostage? Why do you have to ask for a ransom? Can't you just discourage people from entering Somali waters if that's all you want?
We have to get ransom because this ransom is the cost of crossing in Somali water. This is like compensation of what they have done already to our waters.
So is it just about getting the money? What do you do with the money once you get it?
No, I don't want to tell everything to you because some things may be kept on secret because we are now working like a military, and military secrets must not be publicized.
You're working for the military? Are you saying that you're working to some extent for forces in Somalia?
We are working like a military. We are working in the coast of Somalia as coast guards, because our country has no coast guards, has no military, and we have taken responsibility to keep it as a military, and this is a military secret. And some things are not told as a military secret.
Musay, these ships are very, very big. I mean, how do you get a hold of them, and what do you do with them once you capture them? Where are you holding them? How do you hide them?
No, that is a kind of a secret of military. I cannot tell you where exactly we are holding the ships, but maybe I can tell you that some of the ships are on the coast of Puntland, the coast of northeast of Somalia. But all of them, I cannot tell you where exactly they are. This is kind of a secret for us. If the military of your country, like Canada and America, listen to what I am saying, They may just come and surround us. There may be fighting, and this will cause danger to them.
So then let me ask you, what do you think? Can anybody make you stop, and what will it take to stop you?
No, we are not thinking that, because we think that we have got power. We are not afraid. We are Muslims, and Muslims are not afraid of death. The life afterwards will be good for us.
Thank you.
So you really see yourself as a freedom fighter and a protector of the Somali people?
Yes, freedom fighters and protecting Somali people from the dangers caused by countries that are dumping nuclear waste in Somali waters.
Why do you think people call you pirates then?
No, I'm sorry to be called that.
And we are not pirates. This is the kind of enemy politics of the West calling us pirates, because we are not pirates. We are patriots who are defending the land and waters of Somali country.
How long are you going to continue doing this for?
However it takes, until we are protected and we are making our waters more safer.
Tell me about the hostages. What happens when the ransom isn't paid? What do you do with the ships and the people that you are holding? Are they in danger?
No, they are not in danger.
But if they try to use force against us, and we will just burn some of the ships, like the one carrying weapons.
But threats like that don't really sound like the kind of threats that would come from the Coast Guard of a country, do they?
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not acting as a government, because Somalia has no government. We are people who have taken responsibility to guard the coast of Somalia.
And we are not pirates. Thank you very much.
Just one more question. How do the people... How do the people in Somalia...
Goodbye.
Thank you so much.
Nothing else. Maybe no comment. No comment from this time.
That was a Somali fisherman who goes by the name of Muse. He says he hijacks ships traveling off the coast of Somalia, but that he's not a pirate. Now, the waters off the Horn of Africa are part of one of the world's most important shipping routes, especially if you want to move oil out of the Persian Gulf. So, it's not surprising that the companies that rely on those waters see things a little differently. Sunil Ram has been fielding calls from some of those companies. He's a security consultant with Executive Security Services in Huntsville, Ontario, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Indira. How are you?
Good, thank you. Mr. Ram, what do you think about what you just heard from our first guest?
Well, very interesting. A couple things that just stood right out. Okay, this guy needs a PR person. You know, when asked about what you're going to be doing with the money, I would think that he would have said that we're going to use this money to feed our people. You know, you and I both know they have some legitimate concerns, okay? There's been dumping of toxins in that water for years, okay? That water is tuna, well known for its tuna fishing. And, yes, other nations have been basically plundering that area. Legitimate concerns. However, I think the appropriate answer would have been, when asked that question, what are you going to be doing with the money?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be feeding our people. We're going to make our lives better, not we're going to be buying more weapons. You know, I think that one point really told you the person's mindset.
Although he does say he's using that money essentially to, patrol the coastal waters, and that's
and
what
it's... buying machine guns and so forth. The other thing is, too, a couple of weeks ago, there was a wedding that lasted for 3 days. They flew in a band from Djibouti, okay? So it's not being used to provide finances for the poor people. So this is what's going on. Fancy cars. There's mansions being built next to little tin houses. So, no, I don't agree with that. I think that... they've certainly crossed the line. They have legitimate concerns, and I think we need to address that. But the way they're addressing it, Indira, I think, mm-hmm. You know what, they're just going to... look what India did the other day.
Yeah. Before we get to that, let me just ask you then. So for you, what do you think this is all about then?
It's about making as much money as we can as quick as possible. They were off the radar for many years. I mean, most people didn't hear pirates in that region. You know, I know most people in the world didn't have a clue there's actually pirates that existed. This has been going on for a long time. But it's just lately that it's escalated to the point where everybody's paying attention because it's going to affect us, right? When you grab a $100 million oil tanker, it's going to affect all of us, in the long run. So, absolutely, I think it's about... Let's make as much as money as possible. I think there's some legitimate concerns. I mean, there are people, you know, that are really upset about what's been happening to them, the way they've been treated.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. But now I think they've crossed the line, and unfortunately they are on the radar. And what you're going to see, I think, is, an escalation of this by other nations, trying to bring this to some sort of a conclusion.
And tell me about that. You mentioned that there is a surge going on, and there is an escalation of violence in that region and attacks. Why is that happening now?
You know what? I think it's only because that they have escalated it at their end. You know, they would be grabbing ships maybe once a week, once a month, and then just until not that long ago, all of a sudden, you know, they went full force and just started grabbing ships left and right. There's a ship or two being grabbed in that region every day. And you know what? There's lots of ships that are being held for ransom that we
mm-hmm.
never hear about in the news. We just don't. It's because it's bad for business. And shipping companies, if they can get away with it, dealing with this in privately, they will. And, and we never see this on the statistics. We just don't. So let's not be fooled that the ships that are being grabbed are the only ones we hear by the news. That's not true. There's a lot of other stuff going on that we just never hear about.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about those ransoms then. The pirates are, you know, getting ransoms for these ships they're holding. Is it a good idea to pay them?
The question, isn't it? You know, as a ship owner, and as you know, we are currently dealing with the vessels in that region. And you know, this is the kind of stuff we're talking to our clients about. And the question is asked: do we pay a ransom? Well, again, initially, my idea is when we consult our clients is stay away from that region. If you know your crew is worth a lot more, but there's some clients that are saying to us, no, we need to go through that area because of finances, because where we need to go. Remember the World Food Program? I mean, a lot of their ships are
mm-hmm.
being held for ransom too,
right.
Okay? And just briefly, if I can bring that point up, that's the other thing that's, I think, that's making a lot of people upset, is they're not just grabbing oil tankers. You know, they're actually grabbing food shipments. You've got 3.5 million people in Somalia and in that region who are hungry, who are starving. So for this gentleman to say, well, we're doing it for our people, that's not true. You know, it's one thing to grab a tanker. It's another thing to grab food shipments. So that's, I think that's what has actually made a lot of people upset when they've kind of crossed that line.
So what's at stake here then in that region? Is it just about security or is it about something deeper than that?
Politics. They haven't had a government there since 1991. You know, and again, one thing I want to mention too, a lot of Somalian security forces are joining these rebels. Remember, these were fishermen. You know, they didn't have the background of training, the military background. Unfortunately, a lot of these security forces, because they haven't been paid for a long, long time. So
this is business. This is business.
This is business. As human beings, we can understand. We need to feed our family. We need to look after our family. And if we're not getting the finances to do that, especially if you work in the security forces, the government hasn't been paying them. So what are you going to do as a human being? You're going to say, I need to feed my family. I'm going to do whatever I need to do. I understand that. I think you understand that. But when you start grabbing food shipments and, escalating it to this level, you know, you're not doing yourself any service here. You're actually going to make things worse.
So what can people do to protect themselves? And you're in the security business. What are you telling these companies when they come to you?
Well, what I initially said, let's stay away from the area if we can. If we need to go through it, our push this thing in there is nonviolence. Let's try it. You know, we really don't want to start shooting people. So a lot of basic common sense stuff, fire hoses, okay? They're a wonderful resource. You know, if these people try to board, we can deal with them that way. Flood lighting systems, sirens, greasing the rails.
But, Sunil, I have to ask you, is that really going to work? I mean, it sounds like...
It's a nonviolent way of approaching this. But as I said, that's the first option. You know, if you're going to board our ships, and if, you know, my life, the people I'm protecting, the crew, the ship, the cargo is in danger, then, you know, obviously we're going to escalate the level of our force.
And let's talk about that escalation a little bit. You touched on this earlier. India actually claims to have just destroyed one of these pirate vehicles out there in the ocean. You know, how about some countries are talking about sending warships to this region? A good idea?
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, you know, nations are feeling like their hands are tied. There's nothing they can do. So I don't know if it's a good idea, but really there's not too many options, okay? That's exactly what you're going to see. The other thing I think you're probably going to see is what some people have commented on before. They're going to take this fight to where the terrorists live. You asked this gentleman earlier, well, where are you hiding your ships? Yeah, they're hiding it off the coastline. You know, we know where a lot of them are. The governments know where a lot of them are. They just, you know, because of politics, right now everybody's treading kind of lightly. Right. India got upset the other day, you know, because there was a full-out, boarding of their vessel, and India said, we're not going to put up with this. I think they have just set a precedent, Indira, and you're going to probably see a lot more of this happening. I'm sure you are. And unfortunately, you know, legitimate concerns on the Somali side, yes, but the people that they've got, you know, speaking for them and, you know, holding people ransom for ransom and so forth, I think, you know, they're not serving their people well here. You know, again, it's politics. I think people need to sit down and really address these issues, but my gut feeling tells me that this is not going to come to a good end in the next little while. You're probably going to see an escalation of things. And my fear is, as that gentleman said too, Indira, I think that if countries do start to go in that region, which they probably will, you know, you're not going to see some of these crew members coming back. And I'm saying that because I know where this is going to go.
He did talk about that escalation, and he also did say that he wasn't going to stop.
No, and they won't. It'll be tit for tat, and, you know, they're going to want to make sure that everybody knows that they're serious. How do you do that? Unfortunately, it usually means, you know, killing the crew, and that's just the way it is. Unfortunately, my gut feeling tells me in the next few weeks, you're probably going to see something like that if the, you know, other nations do bring their warships in the region.
I'm going to have to stop you there. Thank you so much, Sunil.
Wonderful. Thank you, Indira.
Sunil Ram is a security consultant with Executive Services, Security Services International. Now, Canada has had a presence in the Gulf of Aden as part of the International Naval Patrols, but the Department of National Defense was not willing to provide us with an update on our mission there. Well, that's all we have for this podcast. You can listen to The Current weekday mornings on CBC Radio 1, right after the 8:30 news, 9 o'clock in Newfoundland, as well as on Sirius Satellite Radio 137. If you have any thoughts on what you're hearing on The Current, send us your comments. Visit our website at cbc.ca/thecurrent and click on Contact Us. Or you can call our feedback line toll-free at 1-877-287-7366. And as always, our mailing address is P.O. Box 500, Station A, Toronto M5W 1E6. To subscribe to other great CBC radio podcasts, check out cbc.ca/podcasting. Thanks for listening. I'm Indira Naidu Harris.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.